Welcome to Founders Time Podcast, where founders shine. Have you ever thought, I have this idea and I'd love to start a business, I'm just not sure how? Then you're in the right place. Founders Time aimed to inform and empower female vetpreneurs, military, veteran, and military spouses entrepreneurs by sharing actionable steps, tips, and resources to grow your business lean and smart. Everything you would need to start, scale, and succeed. Now, your host, Niurka Castaneda.
Hi, welcome to our show. We are committed to enrich the life of members of the veteran and military community by connecting them to the resources that they need. We're advocates for professional and entrepreneurial opportunities and facilitate conversations of hope, empowerment, and creativity. To reduce military and civilian transition difficulties and to help our veteran and entrepreneurs' families to thrive. Hi, I'm Niurka, your host. We invite you to be part of this journey as we, together, bring a positive change on new beginnings, opportunity, and success. Our new mini-series will be introducing the art of business to share with you how it can enhance your life, your community, and your future. So stay tuned. Let's welcome Amy Lemaire. She's an Amazon bestseller, a sales strategist, a trainer, and a speaker. She will be sharing with us what is the sales confidence goal and how it can help you create breakthroughs in sales, confidence, personal power, and revenue growth. I can't wait. Can you? Stay tuned.
That a lot of what I'm going to share with all of you is it's basic, yet it's fundamental. And so what I will start out by sharing with you, first of all, is that the road to success is always under construction. And what I'm going to be talking about today is the following. It's, first of all, that the way we sell today versus the way that we sold in the past versus the way people are buying today versus the way they bought in the past are completely different. So when I go into my talk today, there's some things I'm going to share with you. First and foremost, the way I'll break down my discussion today is the following. The first thing I'd like to share is that when we talk about success in selling, I want to be upfront and tell you that I didn't come here today having it all figured out overnight. Much of what I'm going to talk to you about today is I'm going to share my story about how I moved from, let's just say, zero to a sales hero, how I define the sales confidence code. I'm also going to talk to you, secondly, about the trends that have changed in buyer behavior, how we as sellers need to respond to that. And I'm also going to talk to you about some ideas around mindset that can help you be a better sales professional, whether you're a full-time sales professional, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you are someone that maybe you own a business and you know you need to sell, but you're not comfortable with it. Whatever of those classes you fall into, this is the perfect session for you. So the first thing that I want to talk about is what has really changed in the environment of buying and selling over the past 10 years. So the first thing I'll share with you is that the first trend is the customer knows more than we do today. So in the past, when people used to buy, they would call you to ask you the questions. They would want to know about your products, your services. But today, what we know is that information is everywhere. Information is on the internet. It's on social media. I always like to ask the question, how many of you have bought something in the past 24 hours just on your smartphone through Amazon or online shopping? A lot of the times we might even look at customer reviews to make these decisions. So what this means is that the buyer does not need us as much as they used to because they feel like they can make buying decisions on their own. So that's the first thing that's changed. The second thing that's changed is that the customer calls us later in their process. So for instance, if somebody is looking for a sales coach or they're looking for marketing support, they're looking for something to help their business, what they are doing today is they are doing their own homework. They're doing their own research. By the time they reach out to us, whether it's on email or on social media or a phone call, by the time they contact us, they are already more than halfway through their decision-making process. So the information that they're gathering, there's some questions we want to ask ourselves. Is the information accurate? Are they getting the information from our competitor? Are they getting the information from one of our customers that may have been unsatisfied with our products or services? So the big question here is, we know the customer is getting the information. We know they're calling us later in the process, but where are they getting the information from and how are they making their decisions? The next thing I'd like to talk about is when people are buying today, more people are involved in the purchasing process. So we call this the rise of the consensus-based sale. So for instance, if you're trying to get into a company in the past, some of this information I'm sharing today is from a really great book I recommend you read called The Challenger Sale. And in the past, it was said, you know, back in 2008, this book was written a while back, but a lot of these trends are still holding true today in today's marketplace. At the time the book was written, it was stated that on average 4.6 decision makers were involved in a purchasing process. Now, today in 2022, it is up to 10.2 people involved. So if you're calling on a company or a business, much of my sales background was in the healthcare space. So the days of one person making a decision without consulting with multiple other people, unfortunately, those days are gone. So this means that our sales cycle can get even longer. The other risk that this puts us at is that when we try to make decisions as a group, it's difficult. So if you think about it, maybe you get together with your friends for dinner and you say, let's all choose a restaurant to go to. There could be 10 different ideas, 10 different restaurants, 10 different opinions. And it might end up in an indecision of forget it. Let's just cook at home tonight because we can't agree on one thing when we get to be a large group. So that's something else to think about. Now, the next information I'd like to share with you is the following. What is most important to a customer in the purchasing decision? Is it the price? Is it the marketing? Is it the support or the customer service? Or is it the sales experience? Is it that interaction between me, the seller, and the buyer that's most important to the buyer? So again, these are four important criteria to make a decision. Now, the research showed, it might not be what you think, the number one single most important thing to a buyer is that sales experience, that interaction between me and the person buying the product. That was 53% of the people that were interviewed said this is the number one most important thing. Believe it or not, only 9% said the price is the most important thing. So this gives evidence that today it is true. People will spend more money on something they see value in. And I always ask the question, when was the last time you bought something where you thought, I'm only going to spend this much money, and maybe you spent that much? You know, maybe it was a car, maybe it was a house, where that person across from you just gave such a great experience that you decided to do business with them in spite of the cost. Now, the other two elements, marketing and also product delivery and service, is only 19%. So if you put this all together, what does it really mean? It means that that interaction you bring to the table from the first moment that person engages with you through the sales process all the way through the end of that process is what they care the most about. And if you're not sure what I mean by this, think about some things you've bought in your life. Have you ever bought a car before? I know I have. And I've had some dealerships I've walked into, of course, will remain nameless, but some places I've walked into, the person might come up and, you know, tell me about all the specials they have and tell me about all the cars, and I can tell they really want to make a sale. But another place I walk into, the sales professional might say, who are you? Tell me about you. What do you do for a living? They really want to get to know me, and I can tell they've taken a genuine interest in me. And that's what we mean by a world-class sales experience, which is what I want to talk about next. So now that we know the sales experience, what I bring to the table, how I show up as that professional to that buyer is the number one most important thing. How am I going to act? What am I going to do? So what I want to do now is I want to define to you, what is a world-class sales experience, which is what the customers say they want from us now? Well, it's a lot of things. Number one, the first piece of that is that a world-class sales experience means that I am helping my customer avoid landmines. I am teaching them something that they don't know about their business. Number two, I am also making it easy to do business with that person or that company. I am responsive. I am giving them an experience that they understand that I care about them and I have their best interests in mind. The other parts of that are I'm comfortable negotiating, and I'm always constantly reminding the person in front of me, the buyer, that I have their best interest in mind throughout the process. So the other thing that I'll share with you is that the world-class sales experience today is the part of the process that it's an expectation now. This isn't just a nice idea. This is literally what buyers are saying they expect of us as entrepreneurs, as sales professionals. So take a moment and think to yourself, am I creating a world-class experience for that person or that company or that business across from me? If I'm not, maybe this is the time I start making some of those shifts and changes. So the next thing I want to talk about, now we've talked about what has changed in buyer behavior, how do we need to create a world-class sales experience? We've talked about the fact that the number one most important thing is how we are creating an experience for that person across from us from start to finish. So the next piece of it that I'd like to talk about is let's talk about this whole concept of sales confidence. Sales confidence really means this. It means to me, as an example, when I was in sales, and I spent over 20 plus years of sales and over 10 years in sales training is what I do today in my business. But I once had a vice president of sales tell me, you know, Amy, it's not the competition that we need to worry about. It's what's right between our two ears we need to worry about. So in essence, what this really means is our sales confidence can also dictate whether we have success or whether we have failure when we are selling. So we can be our own worst enemy. It's not always that someone's got a better price or the competitor has a better product than we have or better service or better offering or a better website. What it means is that if we don't have confidence within ourselves, that can stop a sale from happening before it even starts. So what I want to talk about next is I want to give you some ideas about this whole concept I teach and train called sales confidence. Now, sales confidence is really an element which is referring to six habits that you can implement into your life. The habits of thinking that will help you be successful in selling are, number one, your self-confidence, your self-esteem, your self-worth. How do you really feel about yourself internally? And the reason I bring this up is this is the most important factor to sales success, because if I don't feel confident within myself, I'm going to be afraid to make those prospecting calls. I might be afraid to follow up. I might buckle when that person tells me I need a better discount or I can't buy from you. You're too expensive. Maybe I won't be confident enough to respond to that. So what I want to share with you with regards to that is that there's five other habits of thinking that can either support or sabotage our sales success. And I'm going to make a reference to each one of those as we go forward. So the habits of thinking are two worlds, the inner world, which is, again, I just mentioned my self-confidence. It's also about my goal setting, my dream creation. Am I setting goals that I'm excited about? Am I setting goals that inspire me? Am I setting goals that bring out the best version of myself? And then the last part of that is my life happiness or my joy in the journey. Am I excited about what I'm doing? Do I feel like my life has meaning and purpose? Do I feel like the products and services I'm representing bring meaning and purpose to my life? And then the other three habits we have are the outer world, which is, do I do well connecting with people? Am I good at building rapport and trust? Am I enjoying the work I'm doing? Do I love the work I do and do the work I love? And then the last is structure and self-discipline. Structure and self-discipline is critical because without structure and self-discipline, again, we might back away from making the phone calls. We might back away from reaching out to people that we've not talked to before. And we also might not have that process of consistently following up and following through on our sales opportunities. So with that being said, I want to share with you five quick tips before I wrap it up and go into Q&A about how can you immediately accelerate your sales confidence right now. So there are five ways that we can kill our self-confidence. And if you want to jot these down in your notes, I'll say them slowly and then I'll explain what these are. The first one is expectations. Expectations means my life or my success looks like this, but I really think it should look like that instead. It's when we have a habit of really being hard on ourselves and not fully appreciating our efforts or being grateful for the efforts we're making. Instead, we have this constant habit of just having really heavy negative self-talk. So the remedy to that is gratitude and appreciation. Maybe you can think about three things that make you better, unique, or different than other people who are selling something similar, offering something in the space that you're in. The next thing we want to consider is comparison. Comparison is when I have a tendency to look at the best version of somebody else and compare it to the worst version of myself. I remember all the years I was in sales and there would be a ranking each month of who was the top sales performers and who were the lowest sales performers. And I often found that I would beat myself up if I was not at the top. And I started a habit, which I invite you to do, is think of three qualities that make you unique, better, and different than everybody else, whether it's somebody on your sales team, or maybe it's a competitor selling the same product or service in your space. What makes you different? And when I used to think about this, I thought, I'm positive, I'm enthusiastic, I'm passionate about what I do. I know I will always bring more value to my customers than they expect of me. And I have the woo factor. Woo means not woo-woo like self-development. It means winning others over, which means I have an ability to help people see the holes in the floor that they're missing. And I also have an ability to help them see beyond it to solutions. So the third is damaged trust. Damaged trust or trauma. We sometimes look at events from the past. Maybe it was something yesterday. Maybe someone didn't treat you well. Maybe it was something that happened a long time ago in your life where you continuously replay a memory that is sabotaging to yourself. So what I invite you to do instead is to ask yourself, what is the gift in that? How does that make me a better person? So when I was, as an example, when I was 9 years old, I was in a pretty bad car accident and I had a lot of surgeries on my face. You know, my head was, my skull was actually fractured. It was pretty intense. And from that experience, I found I have a lot of courage and I have a lot of determination. So what are the superpowers from those events you've gone through? And how can you use that to be more effective in selling yourself? As I said, I use those two qualities every day of my life. And that's what I teach people in sales right now. The last two, secrets. Secrets are things we do that we don't tell other people about. It could be addictions. It could be binging. It could be things we do that we wouldn't want these on the front page of the newspaper. So when I think of these types of secrets, what I'll invite you to do instead is to think about what am I really avoiding and what am I lying to myself about? I have found in my life, example, at one point I was a cigarette smoker. I mean, this is like two decades ago now, but I remember what I was running away from is I was really stressed out. It was my first sales job. And I thought, ooh, if I could just go out and, you know, have a smoke, I'll feel better. And what I finally realized was I was being dishonest with myself about the need to just take a break and to have better work-life boundaries. And once I was honest with myself about that, I finally quit smoking. I went through a smoking cessation program and realized there were healthier ways I could deal with that stress than having a cigarette. The last thing I want to share with you is the habit of doing versus being. We can be the type A overachiever. And sometimes, you know, in my office, you might see in the background, I have, I have a lot of plaques on the wall. And there was a point in my life where that defined me. That was, you know, I'm an overachiever. I'm a type A. But the risk of that is that we sometimes do that as a way to escape our current reality. And we begin to define ourselves by our achievements. We begin to be that hamster on the hamster wheel, constantly going, going, and going. And that really can result in a lot of overwhelm and stress and a lack of life balance. So what I invite you to do instead is to make it a practice to be in the now, which means that we are taking time out for ourselves. We are setting realistic goals. In each day, we are setting our intention for the day, and we're not running ourselves into the ground, which is very, very typical. I did it for many years in sales. It costed me relationships. It costed me friendships. It's not worth it. So instead of feeling that you have to be the best at everything, why not choose three things you could be really great at or improve? So with that, I'm going to go ahead and...
Sales. Wow. Such an important topic, I think, for so many people. So I sure hope that you are paying attention because she shares so many nuggets. I mean, share so many nuggets with you. You know, I'm rushing to go get that book from Amazon. Zero to Hero. I'm definitely getting it. Like she say, like I'm going to say, you know, sometimes it's not about what we're selling. Sometimes it's not about the product, the art. It's about our confidence. That's the thing that's stopping us from making that sale. That mindset that we need to build. She's playing it. Was it the price? Is the marketing? The delivery? Or the actually sell experience that matter? It's not the price. Only 9% of people care about the price. 53% care about the sales experience. And what's really involved in the sales experience? They feel that you're understanding the pain, that you're understanding the need that they have, that you're actually coming from a place of caring. So maybe you're one of those people that think that sales is an ugly word. You should think about it and you should switch it to service. You're not selling, you're serving. You're serving them and you're helping them with the problem. So start by understanding what is your customer problem. Whatever that you do, you have a customer. And it's okay to get revenue or get some exchange of goods for that product. It's money now. It used to be gold. It used to be salt. You know, it changed with time. But think about all the products on the market. Think about the last product that you bought. Why did you buy it? What it gave you? Remember, it's not the price. A lot of times we buy stuff that we don't need. we don't, you know, we look at it later and like, what is this? But what it gave us was an experience. It gave us, it responded to our needs at that moment. So understanding that feeling, it will help the sales process. I always love to tell this story. The Peston. Did you ever hear about that? A person came with a terrific idea of having a Peston. They pack it, you know, presentation. They pack in a little box, in a little nest. It came with instructions, manual on how to take care of your pet stone. It was silly, it was goofy. People were laughing when they're buying it. So, it represented a moment, a gag, you know, you kind of make you laugh at the moment that you bought it. The cost wasn't unbearable, so, you know, it was like $2 or $4 at the time. But really, really, what was the problem that it solved? A lot of people have pets. And unfortunately, they last longer than we do. So they might die, or they might get lost, or they might get run over. So a lot of people don't want to struggle. They still want to have a pet, but they don't want to go through the pain. So the pet stump resolved that. They have a rock that won't die. They make them laugh, they make them comfortable, and they took care of it. It solved the problem for the mom that maybe couldn't afford a new puppy. Because those puppies can be expensive. But it can give to the kid a $2-4 pet stone for them to take care of it, to teach them how to be responsible for a pet. So whatever you're selling, whatever is your art or your product, think about it. Think about what is the pain that is solving? How can you help that person? And came from a place of caring that you're solving their problem? And you will think, and you will see that sales is not longer such a scary world. And definitely buy Amin's book, because I think it will help you, you know, getting all the techniques and getting prepared and really going deep on what is stopping you. Working on your mindset is something that we all have to strive to. We all have insecurity. We all have fears. So that's something that we all have to work on. Okay? Stay tuned. There's more to come. And I challenge you, before I leave, I challenge you to tell me, what is the thing that scares you the most about sales? Be honest. It's okay. Tell us in social media, hashtag Umbrellas of Hope. And Instagram, tag Amor Umbrella and tell us what is so scary about sales. Stay tuned.
I hope you have and will continue to enjoy this journey in creativity with us. In today's world, where artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, advanced in science, and autonomous vehicles is our new normal, creativity has never been more important. This new miniseries of By Umbrellas of Hope was created in order to inspire you and empower you by giving you the creative confidence to redesign the world around you, to create new solutions that are invaluable for today's society. Powered by your vision, your own unique talents, and limited only by your imagination. Our world, our society, our future needs you.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of Founders Time Podcast. Remember, subscribe to our newsletter at founderstime.com for more tips and tricks on how to make your podcast great. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.